Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
We are 2 weeks away from training camp. Can you feel it? Can you taste it? Welcome in, everybody, to an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can follow the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Yes, it is getting closer and closer and closer. First of all, thank you so much for being here today. If you are new here to the Pack-A-Day Podcast, thanks for checking it out. Hope you like it. Make sure to like, subscribe, comment, give those five-star reviews. If you are coming back, thank you so much for making Pack-A-Day part of your daily routine. Today is an episode that many of you have been asking for, that many of you have been waiting for, and today is the Josh Jacobs deep dive. I just finished up watching every single snap of Josh Jacobs from 2023, and my overarching takeaway is that this is a very interesting set of tape to try to dive into and parse out, because you have this really interesting season from Josh Jacobs that did not live up to expectations, was nowhere near his 2022 season, but you had a Raiders offense that was super funky, crackerjack, crappy, not great, not really successful for anyone. So was it partly due to Josh Jacobs not living up to expectations, or did the offense just become so broken that even a superhuman Josh Jacobs would not have been able to succeed in it? We will go through all of that, I promise you, and we'll get to all of the tape observations. Before we get there, I want to go through some stats for Josh Jacobs, and I want to go through some grades as well, both from PFF and from my own personal grades. I did go through and not just watch every single snap of Josh Jacobs in 2023, but I graded every single snap of Josh Jacobs in 2023, so we'll get to that as well. Statistically, if we want to box score scout this thing, Jacobs had 233 carries this past season for 805 yards. He had 3.5 yards per carry, 6 touchdowns, 3 fumbles, 37 catches, 296 yards, 8.0 yards per catch, no receiving touchdowns, 1,101 total yards from scrimmage. Now, he did miss the final part of the season with an injury, which is why his numbers weren't a little bit higher. He did not get to finish out the year. We'll get to that more in just a moment, but his stats were certainly down from where they were at in 2022. From a PFF standpoint, Josh Jacobs had a 65.0 grade. Remember, 60 is sort of their average score. So a 65.0 grade in 2023, which was good for 50th in the NFL. And he played in 600 total snaps this past year. For comparison, AJ Dillon per PFF had a 75.7 grade on 494 snaps. And Aaron Jones had an 80.9 grade on 443 snaps. So PFF had both Jones and Dillon rated ahead of Josh Jacobs. And like I said, Josh Jacobs barely in the top 50 for overall running backs this past season. My grades slightly different. So Aaron Jones had a plus 5.20 grade on 443 snaps. AJ Dillon had a plus 1.40 grade on 494 snaps. Where did Josh Jacobs come in? Right about in the middle of those two. He had a 3.65 grade on, again, 600 total snaps from this past season. So he did grade better on a per-play basis than AJ Dillon and ended up with a better grade, pretty easily so. But Jones was almost twice as good on a per-snap basis. So I know that obviously Green Bay is betting that Josh Jacobs is going to be able to stay healthier, and therefore he is going to play more snaps, which is going to make the offense better because hopefully Jacobs will be in there more often. But on a per-play basis, Aaron Jones was, again, almost twice as good per my grades this past year. Now, again, we'll get into why that is, specifically with Josh Jacobs in just a moment, and we'll talk through some of that. But it is interesting to note that almost in order to get to that same point, like Jacobs might have to play significantly more snaps than Jones, meaning Jones will have to maybe have some setbacks and injuries in order for Jacobs to actually meet those numbers, or he could just play like he did in 2022, which we'll talk about as well. So again, a plus 3.65 grade on 600 snaps. I want to be clear here. That's nothing to sneeze at. That's not to say he was bad. That's not to say he was terrible. I mean, again, Jones had plus 5.2. Dylan was plus 1.4. He's kind of right in the middle there. It's a good grade. Is it otherworldly? No. Is it unbelievable? No. Is it probably worth the contract that they gave him? Probably not. But is it a good football player? Absolutely. So we'll get into all of that again more in just a moment. And where we need to start here, as we sort of start breaking down this film and go over Josh Jacobs in greater detail, is that regardless of everything that I'm about to say, good, bad, ugly, amazing, and anything in between, there is zero way that anyone can look you in the eye and tell you that Josh Jacobs had a poor 2023. His tape was by no means bad. Had it been bad, it would have been a negative grade from both PFF and myself. And it certainly was not. He had a positive grade per PFF. Maybe again, not otherworldly, 50th in the NFL per them. He had a plus 3.65 grade from me. Again, really good, solid grade. Again, you watch his tape closely. I don't care how much you want to dive into it. I promise you, you will not take away, yep, he's washed, he's not good, he's not talented, like he was terrible. There's none of that. Promise you. All right, so that is the big overarching thing I really need you to know from the top. And there are a few things that we need to understand here. Number one, like I said, the Raiders offense was hot garbage. The scheme was a mess. There was no core principles to it. They didn't have a consistent quarterback throughout the course of the year. Obviously, they went from Jimmy Garoppolo to Aiden O'Connell, and a variety of different guys played. And then you didn't have good quarterback play really through any of it. Yes, you had a wide receiver like Davante Adams. Quick side note, as I'm going through and being able to watch Josh Jacobs on every play, it was so fun just to be able to see Davante on all 22 again and really just appreciate freaking Davante Adams again. So that was a fun side quest of this project, but neither here nor there. But going back to this offense, yes, they had Davante Adams and they had some capable receivers, but it did nothing to actually make this offense better. There's a reason that Josh McDaniels is no longer head coach of that team. There's a reason he will never get, in all likelihood, another head coaching opportunity again. It just has not worked. And that is partly on his offense. That is partly on his coaching. And that is partly due to the personnel that they had and the lack of a consistent quarterback that they had as well. But that offense was not set up for success for anyone. And more specifically, the Raiders' run game was garbage. Again, there was nothing that you could point to that they had going in the running game. They tried fullback. They tried no fullback. They tried double tight ends. They tried everything and nothing was working. And again, they didn't have like a core run play or anything that was working with any level of consistency that they could sort of keep going to. And the entire season felt like they were just searching for something that was going to work and nothing ever really did. And by the time Josh Jacobs got going a little bit more towards the end of the season, then he had the injury, the Raiders season was over, and the rest was sort of history. And again, now they're moving on in an entirely different direction with that franchise. As I mentioned, no consistent quarterback play to keep defenses honest meant that teams were focusing in more on Josh Jacobs and trying to stop the run. And here's the biggest thing of all from this. There were a ridiculous amount of plays in almost every single game where Josh Jacobs would get the ball and there would be, and I kid you not, if not one defender immediately in his lap, a lot of times two and even three defenders. Some of Josh Jacobs' best work in 2023 was actually dodging initial defenders behind the line of scrimmage, and he would like make one guy miss and then another guy would be right there. Or he'd make one guy miss, make a second guy miss, and then another guy would be right there. Like some of his most impressive runs were like -1 yard gains or 0 or 1 yard gains because he made something out of what should have been probably a 4 or 5 yard loss. His interior of the offensive line would get penetration immediately. There was nothing he could do on those plays. And like I said, the fact that he was even able to avoid a couple of those tackles and make something happen so it wasn't this huge loss was super impressive. And I would actually love to go through, unfortunately, I don't have the time to do this as well, but go through and count up how many times he encountered a defensive player in his lap immediately and how many of those runs ended up in negative yard runs or like, again, very small gains or neutral gains, 0 yards, and just take all of those out of his entire, you know, rushing totals and see how many, you know, attempts that he actually had with real opportunities and how his yards per carry would have been probably remarkably better had you just immediately zapped all those plays out where he had no chance for success whatsoever. And we do need to also remember that I am grading 2023, and today we are going through all of the film on 2023. But Jacobs was massively different in 2022. Just to give you an idea, 340 carries, 1,653 yards, 4.9 yards per carry, 12 rushing touchdowns, still three fumbles, 53 catches, 400 yards, 2,000 53 yards per scrimmage, excuse me. Jacobs in 2022 had a 91.6 grade from PFF. The highest grade of Aaron Jones' entire career was an 86.1 in 2022. And Jacobs, you know, basically blew right past that in 2022. He also had an 87.1 grade in 2019, which was higher than Aaron Jones ever had. So think of the best season that you've ever remembered from Aaron Jones, the best play ever. Josh Jacobs has two seasons that are better than that per PFF, including what everyone would agree was an unbelievable and phenomenal year from Jacobs in 2022. So regardless of what happened in 2023 and with all the extenuating circumstances surrounding him, remember that we're just going over one season today. And if we, and I did go back and watch like key plays from 2022 when I did my initial breakdown of Josh Jacobs, if you want to go back and listen to that. And there is a ridiculous amount of really fun, spectacular plays from Jacobs in 2022. But today we're focusing simply on 2023. So the first thing, again, I want to reemphasize, Jacobs, was in no way bad. He was not set up for success. However, what I do want to start by saying here too is that he also did not elevate the play either of himself or of his team. And that is something that Aaron Jones has done on numerous occasions through the course of his career, and in particular, just this past season. I know a lot of people towards the end of last year when Jones was going great, we're like, oh my goodness, this offensive line is blocking so much better and they're making so much progress. There was a little bit of that. They did make some progress and some of those pin pull plays were blocked just chef kiss perfection. But there were also a lot of plays that Aaron Jones just made magic on. There was no crease. There was no hole. There were defenders in the backfield and Aaron Jones just said, I don't care. I'm going to completely pinball my way to 10, 15, 20 yard gains and just make spectacular stuff happen like it's normal. That's what we saw from Aaron Jones when he was healthy in 2023. And we did not see that from Josh Jacobs really at any point with the Raiders. And that's one of the hard parts to sort of try and get over is the fact that, yes, there were players in the backfield. Yes, there were not a ton of huge creases or huge holes that he could kind of make, something out of. But he also did not elevate the play to sort of make these spectacular plays on his own, which we have come a little bit accustomed to in Green Bay. And I'll add on to that by saying his 2023 tape was pretty underwhelming. This is probably the best statistic I can give you. And I promise you, if you go back and watch every snap of Josh Jacobs in 2023, you will probably get a little bit bored at times because there's not a lot sexy about it. And to put this in perspective, Josh Jacobs had 9 carries of 10 or more yards in 2023. On 233 attempts, only 9 of them went for 10 or more yards. So imagine going through and watching 600 snaps of Josh Jacobs, 233 of those are actual run plays. And of those 233, only 9 went for 10 yards or more. That is one run of over 10 yards every basically 26 carries. That's not great. And again, I'll emphasize and reemphasize, offense not set up for success. He didn't have a ton of opportunities. But you go through and you watch and you keep waiting for Josh Jacobs to be Josh Jacobs. And it never really happens. And that's why I start by saying in this entire conversation today, it's difficult tape to try to figure out. Because I do want to sort of blame all of the circumstances around him, but I do watch him too and keep wanting more. There was a lot left to be desired. And especially again, after watching Aaron Jones for so long make these spectacular plays out of nothing, we just didn't see that little bit extra from Jacobs in 2023. Hey friends, we're all excited that training camp is just around the corner, but that doesn't mean that there's not a ton of exciting sports action going on right now. The Brewers are in first place in the NL Central. The Euros have been absolutely phenomenal. And Caitlin Clark and the Indiana Fever keep getting better week by week. Plus, we've got NBA Summer League action. And whether you're a fan of the WNBA, European football, Major League Baseball, or Summer League basketball, all of them are better when you combine it with Prize Picks. Prize Picks is available in more than 30 states across the country, including California, Texas, Georgia, and most importantly, Wisconsin. Prize Picks is America's number one fantasy sports app with over 5 million active members. So join in on the fun and become part of the Prize Picks community today. This week, I'm sticking with the young guns in the WNBA, Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark. And I'm also expecting a big Brewers bounce back after a rough series against the Dodgers. And also I'm going with Kylian Mbappe to break out in his match against Spain. There's never been a better time to get into the action with Prize Picks. And as always, the best part is that you can download the Prize Picks app today and use code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. That's the Prize Picks app using code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Hey friends, wherever you are in your walk in life, whatever your financial situation is, and whatever phase of life you may be in, we're all working towards our financial goals in our own unique way. Whether it be purchasing your first house, buying a new car, or even setting plans to travel the world, bad, below average, or non-existent credit can hold you back from that next big purchase and can sidetrack those goals. That's where Kickoff comes in. Kickoff is the fastest and easiest way to safely jumpstart your credit and hit those financial goals quicker. My favorite aspect of Kickoff, and the reason I recommend Kickoff to my friends and family, is because it's insanely easy to use. You can sign up for a monthly plan within minutes, and you can start building credit immediately for as low as $5. Plus, check this out. Users with credit under 600 increase their credit by an average of 30 points within the first month. 1 month, 30 points higher. That's because Kickoff is a safe, easy, and legit credit hack with no catch and no credit checks. And you can cancel at any time, hassle-free. Kickoff has over 100,000 positive reviews on the App Store and 98% are 5 stars. So join over 1 million people building credit with a Kickoff credit account today. Get your first month for $1. That's 80% off the normal price when you go to getkickoff.com/packaday today. That's Kickoff without the C, get kickoff.com/packaday. Must sign up via getkickoff.com/packaday to activate the offer. Offer applies to new Kickoff customers first month only, subject to approval. Average impact of 30-point increase in first month based on Equifax Vantage Score 3.0 changes for Kickoff premium customers with starting credit below 600 who made their first on-time payment between January 2021 and March 2024. Payments and credit activity outside Kickoff can have an impact on your credit. Terms and conditions may apply. Offer subject to change. Individual results may vary. Now, on the positive side, what I want to say in a very similar way that I talked about Xavier McKinney when I did my breakdown of him, there were extremely few negative plays on tape from Josh Jacobs. And that leads me again to say this really, it wasn't all his fault. And there, when you look at it, and what, so a negative play from a run standpoint is there's a hole there and he doesn't see it or he doesn't hit it or he has an opportunity to make somebody miss and he can't make them miss. Like, or obviously he drops a pass or in pass pro, he doesn't pick up a blitz or something like that. There are precious few negative plays on tape. It's just that he didn't have great opportunities. There's a couple blitz pickups that he doesn't do great on that he got some negatives on. There are a couple drop passes that he had throughout the course of the season. Obviously, he had those fumbles, those three fumbles that resulted in negative grades. And there were a couple plays where he ran himself out of a hole or ran into a holding penalty, meaning if he just kind of went with the design of the run, it probably would have maybe not gained much, but instead he tried to bounce it and then somebody had to kind of hold to make sure there wasn't a loss and he kind of ran into some holding plays. But overall, over 600 snaps, the amount of actual negative graded plays were very, very few and far between. So that again is why I say the tape is not bad. You're not constantly watching him on tape and being like, oh, screwed up that play. Oh, screwed up that play. Oh my goodness, what is he doing? There's almost none of that. It's just he gets up to the line of scrimmage, gets the handoff, looks for what he can do, and it just is a sea of opponent's defenders. And it's like, I don't know what, like, how am I supposed to grade him negatively when the opportunities just aren't there? So I love the fact that I go back and I watch it and I'm not giving any negatives because I don't know that anyone could have really done anything different than what he was trying to do. One thing I did note here is that I did think his vision was a little bit inconsistent. I wouldn't say it was bad. I would say it was okay to good to average, not great. He did, as I mentioned, run himself into trouble sometimes. There were opportunities to maybe run with the, you know, within the scheme of the play, and he would try to bounce it. And again, it resulted in either a negative run or a holding penalty. And there was a couple times like that where I would, you know, you just kind of want to cut those plays out when possible. He did miss a couple cutback lanes where, you know, he has the opportunity on a stretch play, and instead of making that cut back into an open hole, he just kind of burrows his head down and tries to gain as much yardage as possible. In a way, as you watch him through the course of the season, it's understandable because there's almost never any cutback lanes. It's just always a sea of defenders. So he's almost probably expecting at this point of just to, like, let me just get my head down and get as many yards as I can. But in doing so, he did miss a couple of those cutback lanes. And I will also say, I did believe that his vision and sort of his rhythm, which we'll talk about more in just a moment, started to get better as the year went along, and he started to look a little bit more like himself. And then unfortunately, he suffered that injury and was out for the rest of the season. But he was starting to get a little bit better vision and a little bit better rhythm towards the end of the season, again, before he unfortunately suffered that injury. From a pass pro standpoint, it was usually pretty good. He actually did this really impressive. He would like fake set on a blitzer. So basically what he would do is the blitzer would come and he would go up to them like he was going to engage in them. And then he wouldn't, like, he would just kind of like back off. And like, it was funny because what the defender would do is they would like brace for impact or like get ready to like try to charge through him. And then there would be, like, it's almost like pulling the chair out from under him. Like there's nobody there to actually do anything to. And then they kind of like almost like stumble or just caught off guard. And just in that quick second, that's when Jacobs engages them. And it works incredibly well. It was really impressive. It's like a fake block. And I don't probably pay close enough attention to blitz pickups to know if that's something that a lot of coaches teach, but I haven't necessarily seen it a ton. And it was a very effective move for him. So that is something that worked well. And, you know, I mentioned he did get bull rushed a couple times and allowed some pressures, but far more often than not, he was consistent and even a few times would take players and just drive them like completely out of the play, which was really impressive as well. And overall, I would say he was very consistent with it. I will say though, he's horrible, horrible at chipping. Like it's almost like he doesn't want to do it or wants to avoid it. Chipping is a interesting art in and of itself. I've talked about this with Mike Wall and maybe Justice Mosqueda as well, but like there are so many times where what happens is a offensive tackle will be engaged with a blocker and then the running back will come up and they'll chip them, but they'll chip them so hard inside that the defensive player actually gains like some momentum out of it and they will come in and like now all of a sudden like the offensive tackle is like, I got him. And you can tell he's like, he's engaged and he's got him. And then all of a sudden a running back blocks him like almost off of his block. And now he's like all of a sudden looping inside and it ends up being a pressure, a sack because of the chip. So chips are, like I said, an interesting dynamic in and of themselves, but he just goes in and like fake chicken wings and like so many times doesn't even make contact with it. I don't really care here. It's in an effort, like he's going to chip and then we'll go for like a check down. The chip in all of those instances was never really needed. I guess I would probably just say like, let's just avoid the chip. Let's just go out on the route and stop wasting your time. If that's what it's going to be. Again, it's not anything that I even really graded him negatively on because it had basically no effect, but it was like comically hilarious of how he was just going through the motion of like almost like pretending to chip just on his way to get out into the route. So again, neither here nor there, it didn't really affect anything, but he was definitely horrible at chipping. But overall, pass pro and blitz pickup was pretty freaking good. I loved how he looked on checkdowns. Really good hands. There were a couple plays where it was behind him and he tried to make an attempt at it and it bounced away and it led to a couple interceptions, but those were poor throws. Those were not necessarily on Jacobs. He had a beautiful one-handed catch on one play and you could just tell he's got some natural receiving ability and they didn't really utilize it with the Raiders. And we've already heard from Matt LaFleur as he said that he wants to utilize Jacobs more as a pass catcher within this offense. And based on my assessment of him, I would say that is well within the realm of possibility. And in fact, I would like to see the Packers utilize him more as a pass catcher instead of just a check down artist. And I think he did really well in that. And like I said, hands were good. He was able to make some people miss after the catch. And that's going to be a weapon that he can, you know, be used as within this offense, is just taking those easy check downs and letting Josh Jacobs work with it. But I do believe there are more opportunities for him as a pass catcher, and Green Bay will be able to utilize him in that regard. The next thing, and I talked about this a little bit, through the entirety of 2023, I never felt like he was in rhythm or had like a confidence about him. There were a couple times again at the end of the year where he started to get there, but it just looked like he was never comfortable in the offense. And as I mentioned, just could never get anything going. And I think sometimes as a running back, it's like a shooter in basketball that just needs to see the ball go through the net. It felt like he just needed to see like a 20-yard run or just a big touchdown run or something just to kind of get that mojo back. If I had to guess here, I think, honestly, he needed a change of scenery. That team was not good. That offense was not good. They didn't have a solution really at quarterback. And it just felt like he could not get in a rhythm there. It felt like he needed something new. And going to a place that has Jordan Love, a plethora of wide receivers, tight ends, and everyone that can be utilized in the passing game, and an offense that is going to utilize him to the best of his ability, with defenses not able to just say, we're going to put 7-8 guys in the box and just try to stop Josh Jacobs, he will thrive, in my opinion, with this. And I think he needed a spark. I think he needed something different. I don't know if it was frustration or, like I said, just couldn't get in a rhythm, but I do feel like he needed this. And I think it's going to do wonders for him. And I do think that, again, the fact that he never got in that rhythm really affected him. And I'll say it one more time. I don't think that was on Josh Jacobs. I think that was more on the fact that this Raiders offense was just hot garbage. I didn't see him run through as many tackles as he did earlier in his career. And I wonder how much of that is sort of the wear and tear that he had from 2022. He had 393 touches in 2022. There was no playoffs included in that. That's just regular season. That's 400 touches, you know, over 20 touches a game for the entirety of the season. And not to mention that they were physical runs. They were physical plays. Obviously a lot of wear and tear goes into that. And you wonder if in 2023, he just didn't have quite the same legs from all of that use in 2022. And like I said, I didn't see him run through as many, like early Josh Jacobs, you remember him bouncing off of tackles. And he was like almost impossible to get to the ground. In 2023, it didn't feel that way. It felt like as soon as contact was made, they were getting him to the ground a little bit more. So hopefully not having that full slate of carries in 2023 will help him more in 2024. Next up, I thought he lacked any sort of real dynamic trait in the open field. I didn't see him, as I mentioned, breaking many tackles. I didn't see him running away from defenders. There were one or two plays where he did, but it wasn't, again, with any consistency. He did show off a couple of stiff arms, but again, not consistently. Didn't really juke anyone out downfield, and you know, it wasn't like a spin move or anything. It just, one, again, lack of opportunity, but two, when he did get a couple of those, again, there was nothing there to make me go like, oh my goodness, look at how dynamic Josh Jacobs is and look at what he's doing to opposing defenders. There wasn't that. Now, it was behind the line of scrimmage. Again, I could put a highlight tape together of just Josh Jacobs juking people out in the backfield to try to get back to the line of scrimmage. That was impressive stuff. But in the second level, when he did get there, it was lacking a little bit in that creativity and in that ability to make those big plays, which again is evidenced by the fact that he only had 9 runs of 10 or more yards this past year. And last but not least here, I do believe he will fit in Green Bay's offense extremely well. I believe that he will see, you know, fewer defenders in the box when he lines up at the line of scrimmage. I do believe that Green Bay will be able to get him with opportunities in space that will get him sort of that momentum that sometimes he needs. He doesn't have that quick stop start that like Josh Jacobs or even like as I'm watching Marshawn Lloyd, like it's not, there is a little bit of like built up speed and momentum that it kind of takes him. It's not that immediately, like all of a sudden he's 0 to 100 in a blink of an eye. One of the things I also noted, I don't know why I didn't have it on my list today, but I do feel like if you can get him, so the Raiders ran him on a couple end arounds and like you can see he's just like picking up speed as he's going around and like then he can kind of like almost take off a little bit more. I don't know if you could utilize him a little bit in some pistol formations, but I do wonder if you could get him a little bit more of a runway to get going. Again, it's not, we're not talking AJ Dillon here where it takes a longer runway to get going. It's not like that, but it's not super quick either. So if you can get him a little bit more of that runway, if you can get him up to speed a little bit quicker, I do think that would help him as well. But overall, like I said, I do think that this is a running back that is going to be able to do everything Matt LaFleur asks of him, including pick up the blitz, including catch out of the backfield. I do believe he can be a better weapon as a pass receiver than the Raiders utilized him as. And I do think he will benefit from defenses not being able to hone on him directly quite as much with all the weapons that the Packers have on offense. Now, I do think it's important as well to take a look at Josh Jacobs' contract that he signed. On paper, 4 years, $48 million. It's a lot of potatoes. That is a lot of potatoes. That's clearly, again, it sounds great for Jacobs, but it could be a four-year 48 if they want to keep him that long. And if he runs unbelievably for the next 4 years or 3 years, I should say, they'll keep him on that for 4 years. But really what it amounts to is probably either a 1 year, $14.68 million deal. Okay. Not ideal, but not terrible. And you like the fact that you can get out of it after a year if you want to, or what I think is it more likely a 2 year, $22.88 million deal. So a little bit over $11 million, $11.44 million per year for 2 years. That's not so bad. I think if you kind of put it in those terms, you feel a lot more comfortable with the contract. I think 4 years, 48 seems a little bit more aggressive. And I know that's just $12 million and 1 year, almost $15 million might seem more aggressive as well. But I love that Green Bay gave themselves outs in case this doesn't work out. And I love the fact that it's basically like, again, 1 year, 15, or then you sort of opt in to these deals year after year with Jacobs. It's almost like team options after that. It may sound better for the agent, but I actually think this works out better for Green Bay, where, again, if it doesn't work out, you cut bait after 1 year. Yes, you probably overpaid for that 1 year, but you can get out of it. And then if it does work out, you just go year by year after that. My overall take, sort of as we sort of wrap things up here, as I will say one more time, you cannot watch his tape and say that he was bad. There were so few negative plays and there were so few opportunities for him to have any crazy successful plays. But it was also hard to watch Jacobs' tape from 2023 and say, wow, he's this incredible back that Green Bay is getting and I can't wait to see how that's going to translate. I can easily do that with his 2022 tape. 2022 tape is bonkers. It is unbelievable and you will enjoy the heck out of that if you want to go watch that. And that, if that carries over, whew, that is going to be a ton of fun. But it's hard to say that from his 2023 tape. And what I'll say though is I completely, completely understand why Green Bay is making this bet. We know how good Josh Jacobs can be. There is not some sort of crazy projection here of like, well, we've never really seen him do it, but we think he can. No, not at all. We saw him be the best running back and one of the most impressive offensive weapons in all of football just 2 years ago. And now he had one semi-down year in an offense that was not set up for success, with no good quarterback play, with teams focusing specifically on him, and an offense that was broken. And we're going to just say, well, that's it. He can't play anymore. I doubt it. And I'm, again, buoyed by the fact that there were so few negative plays in his overall game that I can understand why Green Bay's like, we know how dynamic he can be. He was not set up for success with the Raiders, and we think he's this perfect fit for our offense. And when he gets going in an offense that's actually competent, he's going to take right back off and pick up where he was in 2022. And I think that there is a good bet to be made there. Again, defenses were focused on stopping him. That's not going to happen in Green Bay. And it's not hard to imagine that he's going to come in and be able to play within this offense, within the structure, be that guy at running back, and take off and be that guy from 2022. They also minimize the risk with his contract. And if you do get 2022 Josh Jacobs, look the heck out. That is a huge weapon that you are adding to a already extremely potent and competent offense in Green Bay. With a 2022 Josh Jacobs, you're cooking with anything like gas, fire, whatever lame cliche analogy you want to use here. He is that unbelievable that he is going to supercharge this offense. And if you get 2023 Jacobs, well, he may not live up to that contract, but it's not like you're going to be, it's not like we're going to get Joe Johnson this thing. For those that are remembering the Joe Johnson era in Green Bay, where you give a big contract to somebody and they're just terrible. There's no way. There's absolutely no way. He might not live up to 14.4 or 14.68 million this year, but he's going to help you. He's going to be a plus at running back, period. End of story. And it's in large part due to so few negatives. And it's in large part just because he's a good running back. Now you're paying for great. You are paying for him to be great. And if he's the exact same running back we saw in 2023, you're getting good. So you're paying great and getting good. But if he is 2022 Jacobs, you're paying great and you're getting phenomenal. And like I said, I understand every bit of why Green Bay is making this bet. After 393 touches in 2022, he only had 270 touches in 2023. And he only played in 34 snaps in the final 6 weeks of the season, all of which were in week 14. So he should have fresh legs and he should be well prepared and ready to bounce back and have an impressive 2024 season. And he finally gets, I think, a change of scenery with a team that's actually good and competing for something. And I think that is going to really motivate Josh Jacobs as well. I thought he looked good in OTAs and minicamps once he got going. We didn't get to see a ton of him because remember, he was ramping up off that hamstring injury. But I am genuinely super excited to see what he can bring to Green Bay. Can't wait to watch him in camp. Not sure how much we're going to get to see him in preseason, but let's get him ready for Philadelphia. And I am really excited to see just how well he functions with a functional offense, with an offense that can be built towards what he does well. And I think, while I don't think we get a full bounce back to 2022 Jacobs, I think we get something in between 23 and 22 that leans closer to 2022 than it does 2023. Really interesting tape to break down. Solid overall season, not spectacular. They're hoping he can get back to that 2022 form. And if he does, like I said, look the hell out. That's going to do it for me today. Thank you so much for joining me. We'll be right back here tomorrow with a breakdown of LVN. Just watched all of his snaps from 2023. So we will go over that as well and what he needs to do to improve in 2024 and take that next step. I will see you guys then. Shout out to our Hall of Fame and All-Pro members, Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Shea Broaddad, Brandon Paletta, Jennifer Wright, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Dan Miller, Alex Huang, Arnaldo Espinosa, Dan Gesford, and Peter Itaka. See you guys tomorrow. But until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.